What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Good or bad, what was your once in a lifetime moment? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
The Super Dave, you mean?
Sure.
Super Dave, yep.
Yep. Hola.
Hola.
So, back when Tiger Woods came up and played at Sahali on the PGA, that tournament that was up there, my parents were they lived in Sahali, so I got to go with my parents or my dad, wherever he had to go. Well, on the last day, he had to stand up in the grandstand on the 18th green. And so he said, come on with me. So I went up there and all we had to do was look at tickets and tell people to go sit down. And Tiger's coming up the fairway. It's a bad shot for his second shot onto the green. Has to make a birdie putt to tie Vijay Singh. And he missed it just by like 2 inches. Par's out. As they're walking off the green, they're right underneath me. And I leaned down and said, that's all right, Tiger. Get him on the next one. He looks up at me like, you dumbass, that was the last hole.
Oh. Super Dave.
But I got the look from Ty. It was awesome.
That is great.
That is good.
It's got a funny last hole.
I was caught up in the excitement. So I saw you guys in Auburn at your very first ever
what was that, like an Alcohol of Fame or something?
No. That was when you guys were doing, you started doing the shows. You'd come down to a tavern or something and do a live show. And I was the guy that came up. There was a guy sitting in this booth and he spilled his beer. And the three other people there, they said, well, you know the rule. You got to finish your beer drinking it through a straw through your nose.
What?
And I started watching. Yeah, I was watching this, and I ran up to the stage and said, you guys got to see this. And you guys all came down and watched this guy drinking a beer through his nose with a straw.
Wait, did he have a bunch of facial hair?
I believe so.
I think I actually remember this guy. I think that was kind of his go-to move. Do you guys remember?
How do you get chicks? Watch this.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, he was paying the price for spilling his beer.
No, I understand, but I think I remember this guy. I think it was like a blonde dude who had a mustache and beard. And like, that was his go-to move. He could drink a beer with a straw through his nose. And he would do it upon request. I think I do remember this guy.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime moment? 206-803-ROCK.
That's the kind of stuff I remember,
Ted. I was about to say. Oh, yeah. But that guy you remember.
I'm so busy. I'm like,
have we been to that bar? Yeah, dude, we've been there.
Don't remember. That guy, I remember. I can tell you what he looks like. Yeah. Hello, Murphy. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing? This is Murphy.
Hola. Hola.
What's up, Murphy? Murphy.
Hola, the cholas. So, I was 4 or 5 years old. It was 1964, I think. Am I there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I grew up in Miami Beach, and my mother's boyfriend took me down to go meet this new boxer who was going to fight Sonny Liston. And he takes me down to the Fifth Street Gym in Miami Beach, and I meet Cassius Clay.
All right.
And he reaches down to shake my hand, and his hand was so big I could only grab one finger and shake his hand.
So he was probably Olympic years at that point.
Yeah, he was getting ready. He was getting ready to fight Sonny Liston the next night in Miami Beach.
So he'd already done the Olympics. Okay, all right.
That is pretty cool.
That's crazy.
My mother met him. My mother's friend dated him. However many years ago, I don't know the year, but I think it's pre-Sonny Liston, but he was still Cassius Clay. And she said, he was a good-looking guy, but he's just so cocky. And this is back in the day, so she's like, a brother shows up in a convertible Cadillac. So she's like, he must be selling drugs, something. And that's not the case. He's getting treated well by the gym owners and all this kind of thing. They just kind of knew, like, this guy's got something. And She said he was all right, just super cocky. It was the whole thing. So she's like the third wheel on their date or whatever, but pulls up. It's nice to meet you, Carolyn. And she's like, well, what do you do? I'm a fighter. She's like, no, I mean, like, for real, what do you do? I'm a fighter. You ever heard of boxing? Yeah, of course I've heard of boxing. I'm a boxer. But I think this is pre-Olympics and all that kind of thing. But he swore he was going to be the world champion. She goes, like, he spent most of the night talking about himself, how awesome he was, blah, blah, blah. But she said it wasn't even quite annoying. It's like he was so cocky that it was almost entertaining. Anyway, she forgets about this guy because it just doesn't matter. And she's like, sure enough, we're watching the Olympics. And she's like, at this point, she's with my dad. And she's like, that's the guy I was telling you about. That's him. And he's getting his gold medals and all this. She's like, I will be damned. My man went out there and did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime moment? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick side note, she also knew, who was the guy that played saxophone in the East Street Band? Yeah, she said, nice guy. They went to school together. And I was like, what was he like? She's like, you know, he was really nice. He literally played the saxophone all the time. Between every class, he's playing in the hall. Everyone's kind of cool. And then she added, he's the ugliest mother effer in the school. Like, damn, huh? It's like, he was just ugly, ugly.
Yeah, my dad always had something against the Orioles bullpen coach.
Why?
What was his name? Elrod Hendricks or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But he always insisted that a lot of things were Elrod's fault. So one year on Mother's Day, we go early, and they would have members of the team and the staff out there handing out roses to moms. And it happened to be Elrod Hendricks. And me and my brother just thought that was the greatest thing of all time.
But he was the one to give it to your mom?
Yes.
Oh.
Just to piss you. I mean, just circumstantially.
Just because we knew it would send him. He would be
what?
Pissed.
He's actually a pretty good dude.
I did
a couple of appearances with that guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And who gets mad at the bullpen coach?
And your dad, and that's it.
Right.
That is it.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime moment? 206-803-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, long-time listener. I've called in a few times from here in Seattle as well as in Albuquerque when I was living down there. But I've got a real good story. When I was living in Albuquerque, it was 2017. My mom found out that her favorite band of all time was playing in Tulsa.
All right.
ZZ Top. And she'd never gone to a concert before, and looking up the prices and whatnot.
Wait, your mom had never been to a concert before?
That is correct.
Wow. How far is that drive?
I mean, it was, you know, 500-600 miles one way.
Wow.
Okay. But we scored third row VIP meet and greet for $300 each.
All right.
And, I mean, you know, VIP meet and greets nowadays, you know, thousands of dollars. But, I mean, it was her birthday, you know, first concert ever, and I was like, we're going. So, you know, we drove out from Albuquerque, stayed at a casino in Tulsa where they were performing. And, you know, throughout the show, you know, we're in the third row. You know, we, you know, basically, you know, almost reach out and touch these guys. I mean, this was before, you know, Frank Beard died. But it was, you know, Billy Gibbons.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty
Hill.
Dusty
Hill.
Dusty Rhodes. The only guy named Beard that didn't have a beard. He was the drummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we go out there. You know, she's, you know, the happiest I've ever seen her in my life, you know. And just being able to experience that. You know, we got our pictures taken with them. And it was just great. You know, we still have the pictures. We got them all framed up. You know, they had autographed them. And
that's awesome.
You know, they're able to just take her out there and, you know, have that experience. I mean, she's gone to like 7 or 8 shows since then, but she's like, nothing will ever top that.
You know, they're coming into town very soon, right?
Well, I've seen them twice since Dusty died, and it's still great. It's just not the same.
It's not good, but to be fair, I've never seen them with Dusty. So I saw the commercial last night. I believe it's Muckleshoot. They're going to play it. And I'm like, whoever they got to replace him kind of looks like him anyway.
ZZ Top is so good.
Yeah, and I'm like,
he's been with the band a long time. He's known the guys forever. He's played with them. So it's not like some new person that's unaffiliated with the group. It's, you know, somebody that knows you know, that's been there.
Oh,
with
yeah. He had that look about him because I'm watching the commercial and I'm like, man, I think I want to go to that show.
And I highly recommend it. I mean, the longest, you know, before, you know, Dusty died, they were the longest group running, all, you know, of all time.
Really?
69, I think it was.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're just one of those bands. Everything they do is cool.
I know.
I don't know.
Whenever you hear one of the tunes, you're like, ah, man, I really like ZZ Top.
We need to play more ZZ Top on the station.
You almost can't go. I got a girl who lives on the hill. It's like, yeah.
And I love the dudes that look like that sing about sex all the time. And I'm like,
she won't are they do really it, but her sister will.
Yeah. That's the greatest line ever. That's one of them. Lyrically speaking, it's dumb. It's bull crap, but it's still like cheesy, but it's still fun.
Lord, take me downtown. I'm looking for some tush. I mean, look,
exactly.
They get to the point, man.
Step inside my sleeping bag, even the lighter stuff.
We're not here to be poetic. We're just here to make a point.
I mean, I think if you took those two guys just on their own, maybe not. But because there's ZZ Top, yes. It's kind of like Lemmy.
No. Yeah, Lemmy got laid.
Yeah.
But if you were not the Lemmy that we know Lemmy, he's like, yeah, no chance. Actually, Lemmy had one of the best quotes. It's like during the 80s and crap like Poison's taking over, Warrant and all that. And someone asked him point blank, do all these pretty boy bands bother you? Yes. Nah. I wish I was. I'm like, you know what?
That's a great line.
That is the best answer ever, man. It's like, good for them.
Wish I was better looking, too.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime moment? 206-803-ROCK.